So good to have you here today. I appreciate it so much, the invite again to come. Sitting with Donna's Nick and Jana. They just came. They were visiting in Cedar Rapids and came to support their old preacher today, and I'm so glad they did that. Donna and I had an anniversary a couple days ago. I've been married to her for 61 years, and she's a recipient of that verse, and Donna found grace in the eyes of the Lord, because she sure had a needed grace being married to me for 61 years, that's for sure. But just appreciate her so very much, and even the ministry she has even now. I wish I could tell you all that she does for the Lord, and but that's a subject of another day. You know, this church here causes a preacher to have fits once in a while. You say, Pastor, why would we up in Cedar Rapids cause you to have fits? Well, the problem of it is, here all week, I was figuring on preaching on the week before Easter and the events that Jesus Christ went through a week before Easter, before his death and burial and resurrection. I was going to preach on that. But no, last night I looked at what I had and said, no, that won't preach. That just will not preach. That's not what that church needs. Well, I really don't know what this church needs, but the Lord does. And so he led me to, I think very plainly, into the oldest sermon that I ever preached. The oldest sermon, it's almost 50 years old. I was a student at Bob Jones University, and they have societies down there, they have intramural, you know, this. Well, man, I'm a mayor, old guy. I'm 30 years old. I'm old to those students, and there's a bunch of us married guys who, there was a society for us old guys. One of the kids said to me, what are you doing that old man society? I said, we just sit around and compare Social Security checks is what we do. Well, I was in that old society, and they voted me to be chaplain of the society. And I made a sermon for the first society meeting that I was a chaplain. And it's found in Joshua chapter number 7. I have not preached this for years and years. It's a rather lengthy passage of scripture. And we need to read it, but we'll see. I hopefully see when we're done today. You'll see a great principle that's so true today, just like it was in Joshua chapter number 7, and it was 50 years ago when I first brought it to the attention of myself and those other students. Chapter 7, Joshua. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor there, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore, the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent or tore his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name, O Lord?" And the Lord said unto Joshua, "Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou cannot stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. It shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire. He and all that he hath, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has wrought folly in Israel." So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, I coveted them, and I took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And he took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones until this day. So the Lord turned from his fierceness of his anger. Wherefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. You have my text. Pray briefly with me. I know it's been a lengthy text. Pray briefly with me and then give me a good hearing for a little while. Now, Lord, we've read your word, your infallible book. This is what truly happened. You've recorded it for us. Now I pray, Lord, and plead that we'd see a great truth here from this passage of Scripture, a truth that we can put to the test in our own day and in our own heart. So, Lord, accomplish today what you want to accomplish in my heart and the hearts of these dear folk who have come. Pray we'd leave this place differently than we came. And we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. First of all, I want you to notice that you have a city called Jericho. It's a very wicked city. You have right on the wall, now these walls were huge because the Bible says there was a harlot, a prostitute, who had her house on the wall, built on the wall. So these are massive, massive walls protecting this town. It was open sin there. When one of the harlots of the town can build a house on the city wall, you know that you have open sin here. The city was unrepentant because if you read in when the spies went and talked to Rahab, the harlot, she says that the people of Jericho were absolutely shocked and just admired and were fearful of the God who opened the Red Sea for them. They had heard all that God was doing in the wilderness, and they were absolutely terrified of what God could do. And yet, even though they were terrified, they were unrepentant. So now they had to be judged by God. And so Rahab talks to the spies and tells how the city people have been unrepentant. And God says, now when we restore the spies say, when we take down this city, the only way you're going to be spared is if you hang a red cord on your house, hang a red cord so the people of the army knows who not to destroy. That's a picture, really, that red cord's a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we find here from the text that Rahab, like Noah, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, the children of Israel came across the Jordan River, and the first town they met there was Jericho. Been to Jericho twice. You can't go there anymore because of all the Arab uprisings, but Don and I were there, it's almost been not quite 50 years ago. We were the first time we were at Jericho. It's really close to the Jordan River. It's a very interesting town. The way they were going to defeat, as you well know, they were to march around the city once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they were to march around it seven times, blow the trumpets, and shout. Now, from a general standpoint, that's a lousy battle plan. But from God, that's perfect. And so they did that, and I want you to notice, it says here that when they shouted, the walls came down, and the men, according to this chapter, they walked straight on through. Chapter 6 tells they just went straight ahead. It's very interesting, the first time we were in Jericho, and they were excavating the walls there. And there was indications that the walls sunk. They didn't fall. You'd have a lot of debris you'd have to go over, and the children of Jericho or the people of Jericho could hide behind these rocks. But they sunk. In fact, it says in the text that they went to Rahab's house. Well, if the walls crumble, her house is destroyed. But not if they sink. And it says they went straight ahead. So now the city of Jericho has no defense at all. Their walls are down. The city is wide open. They have been defeated by God because there was not a weapon. No shots were fired as it would. And so the city of Jericho was defeated. So now they got a little town outside of Jericho called Ai. As we read, they sent people to overlook that town, and they said, well, don't send everybody up. It's just a small town. I mean, don't muster all the forces. Send 2,000 or 3,000 people. They just got a few people there. So they sent 2,000 or 3,000 people, and that little town of Ai caused the children of Israel to flee. And 36 men lost their lives. When they defeated Jericho, they never lost a man. Now they can't even defeat a little tiny little town. And 36 men are dead. You have 36 widows, and you have countless children who are orphans. They began to wonder, is the Lord with us or not? Wish we'd have stayed over on the other side of Jordan. They're in panic mode. But as the text says, defeat is usually and most generally a cause of disobedience, sin, and rebellion against the Lord. And as Joshua gets on his face and is begging God, what's the reason? How come we're defeated? The Lord tells him, get off your face. Somebody has sinned. So now they're going to have a count. They muster all the tribes of Israel, and I don't know how they did it, if they flipped coin or drew straws. I don't know how. But now they pick out the correct tribe. And they begin to pick out the correct family. If you were Achan, what would you be thinking? Wouldn't your blood pressure start to go up? Wouldn't you be sweating? Wouldn't you wonder if, are they going to pick me? And sure enough, it comes and they pick out Achan. Now I want you to notice something from this passage of Scripture. Achan was not suspected by anybody. When they picked that tribe and they picked that family, nobody said, "Oh, it's Achan." He was respected. He was liked. He fit in. And he had a good name. He was not suspect at all. But I want you to notice here in this passage, in verse number 20, when Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done." I want you to notice, the sequence of sin. For 50 years, I've had these four things underlined in this verse. It says, first, when I saw. Sin entered through the eyes. And then it went from the eyes to the mind, because it says, when I saw, I coveted. Now it becomes not a sin of the eyes, but of the mind. And then it says, when I coveted, I took. It became a sin of action. And then it became the sin of hiding. Sin always has to be hid. I saw, I coveted, I took, and then I hid. But I want you to notice today where the sin was hid. And I want us to emphasize and look at that very carefully. It says, he hid the sin in his tent. That was his home. He hid the sin at home. When you walked in the house, you never saw it. You could go to his house for a cup of coffee or eat lunch with him, and you never noticed. He hid his sin in his house. Why his house? Well, that's where we're the most natural. That's when we close the door and we're most private. We're out of the sight of others. There wasn't any suspicious conduct to the rest of the tribes of Israel. It could be, and sometimes that children suspect more than they know. They can perhaps see some indications. But it was hid in his tent. What's hidden from man is open to God. I don't know if you've ever seen the story called the Pineapple Story. It is a marvelous mission story. Interesting, funny, all the things. And when the natives of New Guinea found out that God could see in the dark, it opened up the doors to planting a church in the jungle of New Guinea. What was hidden from man was open to God. Well, you say, look, what I do in my home is private business. It's private and none of your business. In one sense, that's true. But not if you and I are involved collectively with God's people. If you and I are associated with God's people, what we do in our homes affects the Church of Jesus Christ. This man sitting in his home, and yet 36 people are dead. And what he did in privacy affected the whole tribe of Israel. Yeah, oh yeah, you can close your door and I can close mine and we say, that's our business. But you and I have no right to sit in the Church of Jesus Christ sinning and stopping the blessings of God in an organization. Well, now this sin is made public. Achan has found out. So now this sin has to be handled publicly. And it was severe. What do you tell your children? When they are going to die because of your sin. What do you say? They gathered up everything that was Achan, his belongings, his livestock, his children, and everything he possessed. And they stoned them with stones. We read about that death. If they had the opportunity, they would dig sort of a pit and put you in it. And then they would take stones and begin to throw. We're not talking about pebbles. We're talking stones. And they killed you. And they killed that family and burnt them and all their possessions up. You say, that sounds cruel. Punishment. 36 men are dead. 36 widows have lost their husbands, and countless children are orphans. You and I cannot sin to ourselves. It affects others. It's a public sin. It was dealt with publicly. Private sin is dealt with privately. The Bible talks about us. If we're spiritual, we restore such a one. But in this case, there was no public restoration. It had to be dealt with. Now, think with me. He went into Jericho. He saw a Babylonian garment, some good-looking clothes. He saw some silver, and he saw some gold, and he took it, and he hid it, and he never got to wear the clothing. And he never got to spend any of the silver. And he never got to spend any of the gold. His dreams of his sin are shattered. He lost his reputation. He lost his children. He lost his own life. And 7 years later, Joshua brings it up again. In Joshua chapter number 22 and verse number 2, Joshua says, let's not do that again. Let's not repeat the same thing that happened with Achan. You say, preacher, why'd you bring this message? Because it is absolutely imperative for this church and for this preacher who stands behind this pulpit this day to be clean before God. You have somebody coming here who's going to candidate to be pastor of this church. If he becomes, by the grace of God, your pastor, he deserves a church with a group of people who have clean hearts. You and I can close the door of our house. Are you with me? And you can push one button on your computer or your phone and be in sin. Nobody sees it, but God does. And you come and sit in the pews with sin and disobedience in your heart and then expect God to bless. And he hid his sin in his tent. Now, all you and I have to do is say to the Lord, Lord, you've got me. I confess. I don't want to live that way anymore. I realize what it's doing to my own life and perhaps the life of the church. Enable me to see sin the way you see it. Enable me not to have that sin in my heart and life anymore. If you doubt what that sin would be, I can guarantee you when you close your eyes and say to the Lord, bring it to mind, it won't be far off. I've been here quite a few times. And I'm so grateful to God for that opportunity. And I'm grateful to God that God has given you the opportunity to seek a new pastor. But let's make sure that when you vote and when you come here, you have a clean heart before God. And don't hide your sin in your tent anymore. Now I've given you, I've read my passage. I preach my sermon to you. And I've given you my heart again. Let's pray together. Lord, these folks' heads are bowed. And perhaps at this very moment, you're doing business with somebody or several in our midst. Lord, I don't want to just be selfish and say that it's somebody else. Lord, what about my old cold heart? May we be filled with the Spirit of God. May we hate our sin the way you hate it. Make us clean before thee. Lord, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every kind of sin. Lord, I'm so grateful that the sin that so easily besets us, that Jesus Christ took upon himself so that he could make us clean. Lord, may that blood, may the giving of your life mean such to us that we seek thee with our whole heart. Thank you, Lord, for your gracious kindness and looking for us over and over and over. Draw us unto yourself. We plead in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.